Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
This is an ABC News special report. I'm Wayne Cabot. Missiles and drones rocking Tel Aviv this morning after a night of uranium bombardment across Israel, including Jerusalem. Israel says three people died in the projectiles that got through Israeli and U.S. air defenses. The U.S. says it's doing this to protect U.S. interests from Iran's retaliation after Israel targeted Iran's nuclear facilities. From the White House, ABC's Selena Wang reports President Trump is changing his tone from saying that Israel shouldn't have done the attack, now calling the Israeli attack excellent.
The president is also now saying that this will put pressure on Iran to come back to the negotiating table. The president's special envoy, Steve Witkoff, was scheduled to travel to Oman for another round of nuclear talks with his Iranian counterparts, but it's difficult to see if that's still going to move ahead.
Israel reporting significant damage to nuclear facilities at Natanz and Isfahan. This is ABC News. The Pope, Leo XIV, will make a virtual appearance in his hometown of Chicago today, his first address to U.S. audiences since he was elected Pope. This will be held at a location dear to his heart, Rate Field, the Southside ballpark that is home to the Chicago White Sox. ABC's Matt Gutman reports today will be a day of protest across the country.
From coast to coast, police are gearing up for 1,800 so-called No Kings protests against the president this weekend in response to his military parade. And a legal victory for President Trump, at least for now, an appeals court delaying an order from a federal judge to return control of California's National Guard back to Governor Gavin Newsom.
The U.S. Army confirming Marines detained a protester at the Wiltshire Federal Building in Los Angeles. The Army says it can do this, that forces may temporarily detain someone until that person can be transferred to law enforcement personnel. I'm Wayne Cabot, ABC News.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Matinee on air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matinee on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. Republicans have approved an increase in funding for Wisconsin schools at a fraction of what the governor asked for. Savannah Tomei-Olson reports.
Republicans' plan increases school funding by about $330 million, but school districts will see no increase in general aid. Instead, that money goes to specific programs meant for special education and mental health. Statewide, about 15% of students have individualized education plans, meaning they have some sort of special needs. Right now, for every dollar spent on special education, the state only pays about 31 cents. That's one of the lowest reimbursement rates in the nation. The governor's plan would have raised it to 60 cents. Republicans' proposal increases special ed reimbursement from about 31 cents on the dollar to 37.5 cents. But according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, it would increase reimbursement to 90% next year for kids with the highest level of needs. That's 3% of students in Wisconsin public schools. Republicans hope adding money for these programs will take some pressure off the rest of school districts' budgets. Meanwhile, leaders on the Joint Finance Committee also finalized tax cuts, a key priority for Republicans, by about $1.3 billion for Wisconsinites. Those cuts will apply to retirees and folks in the second lowest tax bracket. Of course, this proposal would need the governor's signature.
And meanwhile, as lawmakers settled in for those late-night budget talks on Thursday, the Capitol was echoing with applause for Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Ann Walsh Bradley. As her 30 years on the court come to a close, she offered this reminder.
Adherence to the rule of law must be our North Star. It must be our guiding light.
Justice Bradley's last day on the court is July 31st. Susan Crawford will take the seat after her. For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. This weekend sees the celebration of Flag Day, which commemorates the adoption of the flag of the United States of America on June 14th, 1777. National Flag Week also wraps up this weekend. So our theme for New Wisco Weekend is all things flags. Our cover story looks at a Green Bay business supplying American flags to Wisconsin governments, businesses, and individuals for over 40 years. That's coming up in about 20 minutes. Amanda Nimmer takes a different look at flags, specifically a flag that isn't a symbol of a nation, but instead of an occupation of sorts. Traffic flags are commonly seen in our state. Joanne Krulatz reminds us to be safe on the roads, and Melissa Kay takes us on a historic journey back in time. Brittany Merlot gives us a heads up on bacteria and algae at our favorite swimming holes, and Pete Schwaba has his classic cinema pick of the week. Can you handle the truth? And later, in honor of Flag Day, Operation Song provides the music in our final chapter. First, did you know that there have been 27 versions of the American flag? The original flag had 13 stripes and 13 stars on a blue field. Each time a state was added to the Union, a star was added to the flag. The current flag, with 50 stars and 13 stripes, has been flying since 1959. This week, I open up this issue of New Wisco Weekend, not with flags, but with a look at opening day of the Oshkosh Farmers Market. The Oshkosh Farmers Market kicked off its 2025 season Saturday, June 7th. Michelle Schmidt-Schultz, market manager for the Oshkosh Farmers Market, says this year looks to be a fantastic one with more vendors than ever before.
We've taken over 200 applications this year. I'm thinking opening day we'll have around 110, and peak season will be about 140 vendors mid-July to the end of September.
The Oshkosh Farmers Market does offer craft booths and entertainment, but it's agriculturally driven, with farmers and ranchers taking up most of the booth spaces.
Our focus is to keep America's farmers thriving, and so we always promote them, look for ways to help them. A lot of our programs focus on healthier eating and guide people to buying healthier food choices, such as fruits and vegetables and fresh cut meats. So we really gear a lot of our focus on all the other things we do to helping those farmers thrive.
The farmers, vendors, and organizations at the Oshkosh Farmers Market this year will showcase many different products, including fresh produce and flowers.
With our first markets, you're going to see your early season vegetables. You'll see sugar snap peas, rhubarb, asparagus, fresh greens. We have a microgreen vendor. You'll see exotic mushrooms.
Schmidt-Schultz says that the farmers will also share their knowledge and will help gardeners get a leg up in their own plots with starter plants. There will be crafters, entertainment, buskers, and food trucks.
This year I have over, I think, almost 30 food trucks scheduled to vend at various times. Our Indian food truck is going to be there this year. We have a Caribbean taste. We have barbecue. We have smoked foods. We have gelato this year. And, of course, we are the egg roll capital of the world, so we still have our egg roll trucks. But some the kombucha truck. We have some mocktails coming this year. So just a lot of new things coming in the food segment this year.
Nonprofits and other organizations also set up at the Oshkosh Farmers Market to promote their message, fundraise, educate, and connect with the community. One of the things that Schmidt-Schultz says she's most excited about happens this weekend, June 14th. It's Tomato Mania, where kids can get a free tomato plant to take home, plant, nurture, and from which to harvest tomatoes.
So they come to the market booth, they get a certificate, they go pick out a tomato plant anywhere they want, they come back and show us their tomato plant, we give them a t-shirt that tells everyone they're a tomato maniac. Right. We give out about 150 tomato plants, so first come, first serve.
If tomato plants remain at the close of the farmers market on the 14th, then Tomato Mania will continue on the 21st. Tomato Mania is also a great way to teach children how food is grown and where the food on their table comes from. The Oshkosh Farmers Market is on the 400 and 500 blocks of Main Street and the 100 block of Church Street. Those areas are closed to traffic, allowing vendor booths to set up and shoppers to browse safely. Schmid Schultz says the downtown businesses have embraced the farmers market and open early to encourage shoppers.
It is the social event of the summer. Rain or shine, it's a social event.
Most vendors are ready to sell by 7:30, so many people shop early. For more information, visit osfmi.com or see their Facebook page. For New Wisco Weekend at the Oshkosh Farmers Market, I'm Lisa Hayes.
It's another New Wisco Weekend on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS.
History came alive in Nacoosa this month. New Wisco Weekend's Melissa Kay has that story.
Crowds gathered at historic Point Boss to experience the sights, sounds, and smells of the past. Volunteers and local historical groups reenacted activities that took place at Point Boss during the 1800s.
You get a feel for what we're doing here. You can see it, you can hear it, you can smell it.
John Berg demonstrated in the blacksmith shop, explaining the necessity of the profession no matter where pioneers lived.
The equipment that you see in the shop here is basically what you would find in any blacksmith shop on a farm, fur trade camp, a lumber camp, or a small four corners village, that kind of thing, that would service all the iron needs of those communities.
Along with the permanent structures on the property, many canvas tents were pitched all over the grounds. Joni Wolf displayed a wider range of bottles and jars at her table titled Medicinals.
They didn't have a pharmacy.
In addition to elderberry syrup and mustard plasters, Wolf explained the ingredients in a fermented medicine called fire cider, intended to boost one's immune system.
Horseradish root, ginger root, garlic, jalapenos, rosemary.
When attendees visited the schoolhouse at the entrance, children picked up a passport to guide them through all the activities. They also collected a piece of fur to barter at the fur trader's cabin.
Tell you what, I'll offer you two pieces of candy or one piece of candy and one string of beans.
One visitor drove a hard bargain.
Expensive rabbit hide.
I know it's expensive. It's getting more expensive as we go along.
This is a candy and a bead.
Two pieces and a bead.
The next event at Historic Point Boss is Civil War Days in July. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Melissa Kay.
I walked through a county courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, "Your old courthouse is kind of run down." He said, "No, it'll do for our little town." I said, "Your old flagpole has leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it." He said, "Have a seat," and I sat down.
Traffic flags are pretty common in a Wisconsin summer, and Joanne Krulatz joins us now with a look at the State Patrol's Law of the Month.
As summer gets underway, the Wisconsin State Patrol urges motorists to avoid dangerous driving behaviors and prioritize safety on the road. Reckless driving often includes more than one of the following: speed, improper lane changes, distracted driving, and erratic or aggressive behaviors. The Wisconsin State Patrol's June Law of the Month reminds motorists that reckless driving is hazardous to everyone on the road. In 2024, 138 people died and 3,084 were hurt in 5,642 reckless driving crashes in Wisconsin. Two out of three of these crashes involve speed or distracted driving. Anything that takes a driver's attention off the road is dangerous, including using a cell phone, adjusting the radio, eating, putting on makeup, or attending to pets or passengers. In 2024, there were 9,068 distracted driving crashes in Wisconsin, resulting in 44 fatalities and 3,530 injuries. Speed continues to be a major factor in crashes across Wisconsin and is a prominent reckless driving behavior. In 2024, there were 16,572 speed-related crashes in Wisconsin that resulted in 170 deaths and injured 6,567 people. Wisconsin, like many states across the country, is seeing a trend of speeding and other reckless driving behaviors. For the past 5 years, the State Patrol has issued more than 1,000 citations a year to drivers going over 100 miles per hour. This number more than doubled in 2020 and has remained high since. Speeding makes your vehicle harder to control and stop in an emergency, often causing more serious crashes and injuries. Wisconsin state law imposes strict penalties for reckless driving. First-time offenders face fines of up to $400. Drivers responsible for crashes resulting in serious injuries may face up to 6 years in prison and fines up to $10,000. The tragedies that result from reckless driving are preventable. Drivers should always follow posted speed limits, avoid distractions, and be patient on the road. I'm Joanne Krulotz.
You guys know me. When our wonderful, darling Lisa Hale gives us a theme for New Wisco Weekend every week, I always try to match whatever it is. Emphasis on try. So when she told us that the theme this week is Flag Day, my brain went, what? Because what in the world could I have commentary on about Flag Day? I mean, Flag Day is an American holiday. It's mostly about the American flag. It's not flags all over the world or appreciation of random flags. It's legit, you know, commemorating the adoption of the United States flag on June 14th, 1777. So I'm racking my brain thinking, I don't know, I could do some fun facts about flags. End of school? No, by the time you guys hear this, school's going to be out. Oh, you know what? I'll ask Kevin. And you want to know what he told me? I should talk about the Jolly Roger. So that's what I'm doing. The Jolly Roger... it's a pirate flag, you know, the black flag with the white skull and crossbones on it. You see it and you think, pirate. And it's been associated with pirates for a little more than 300 years now. But pirates didn't always use this flag. In fact, in the 18th century, pirates were more than likely to just use a solid color. So if you saw a ship approaching you and it had a plain red flag, that meant no life was going to be spared. They're basically warning you that when they attack, because they will, everyone's a goner. But then there's also a plain black flag that meant if you're going to be attacked by them, and you will, then you're going to be given quarter on the ship. It's fine. You can join them. But pirates are tricky, as anyone who's seen Pirates of the Caribbean, they know. And some vessels would use the wrong color just to trick them. Give you a false sense of security. And then once they were close enough to board, they'd raise the other and hopefully frighten them into immediate surrender. So where did the Jolly Roger come from? Why did they go from plain black and red flags to using the skull and crossbones? And who the heck is Roger? Well, I'll tell you. Throughout time, a variety of different symbols began to be used on flags. For pirates, it symbolized what they represented and hopefully instilled fear, like an hourglass, a clenched fist, or a sword. And eventually they began using the skull and crossbones, which represents death, clearly, to scare the crap out of the ships that they're trying to steal from. Now, the term Jolly Roger didn't first appear until about 1724. Some people believe the term was a bad pronunciation of a French term, which I'm going to butcher this pronunciation, but go with me here. Jolly Rouge, which meant pretty red and was often used, you know, when they were using the solid red color. And through that butchering, the term Jolly Roger somehow manifested, right? Others think that Roger or Old Roger, others think that the grinning skull inspired the name Roger or Old Roger because back in the 18th century, it was the nickname for the devil. Honestly, it could go either way. But regardless, pirates were using it long before it was named. And there you have it. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer. And there you go.
When we come back to New Wisco Weekend, our cover story featuring Fly Me Flag in Green Bay.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem.
Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Have you been enjoying June Dairy Month? Well, if you haven't had a chance, now's the time to. It's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you, brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And this Saturday, June 14th, from 10 to 1 p.m., you can bring your family to a free event where you can learn all about the dairy industry. There's going to be a petting zoo with baby cows, and goats, games, bounce houses, and did I mention cheese? Head to WISS.FM and click events to find out more about this Leech Amphitheater event.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend on Civic Media radio stations WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up, Brittany Merlot throws a flag on swimming holes with bacteria and algae. But before we get to that, Pete Schwabba gives us his classic cinema pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
This week's classic pick takes us to court, more specifically, a military courtroom. A Few Good Men is one of those films you can't seem to turn off when you turn it on. This Oscar nominee hit theaters in 1992 and tells the story of two Marines who are charged with murder after a hazing incident takes the life of a fellow Marine. Tom Cruise leads a talented cast as Daniel Caffey, a JAG lawyer not exactly known as a hard worker, and after being assigned as defense counsel to the two Marines, is counting on taking the easy way out with a plea deal. That is, until he finds conviction after sensing a cover-up. Caffey's moral compass is tested by his co-counsel and fellow JAG Corps attorneys, played by Demi Moore and Kevin Pollak. Caffey follows the facts of the case up the command chain and starts to suspect that the two Marines were only following orders, eventually setting his sights on Colonel Nathan Jessup, played by Jack Nicholson. Tom and Jack square off in this iconic courtroom scene.
Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth! Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives.
As you can tell, both actors brought their A-game to the project. In addition to Cruise, Jack, Demi, and Pollak, rounding out a great cast are Kevin Bacon, who plays Cruz's legal adversary, J.T. Walsh, and a young Kiefer Sutherland as Second Lieutenant Kendrick, Jessup's right-hand man. Rob Reiner directed the film and said he was drawn to the material because of the relationship Daniel Caffey had with his father, who we never meet in the film, but find out he is a legal legend. Reiner's father, Carl, was a Hollywood legend, and the director says he instantly identified with Cruz's character. Reiner filled his father's shoes, but easily ran out of room. He has directed Hollywood classics like Stand By Me, The Princess Bride, When Harry Met Sally, This Is Spinal Tap, The American President, and of course, Misery. The film is written by legendary scribe Aaron Sorkin, whose credits include The West Wing, for which he won 5 primetime Emmys, The American President, The Newsroom, and The Social Network, for which he won an Oscar. Speaking of the stage play, smart filmmakers know good material when they see it. The movie rights to Sorkin's play were sold even before the show premiered on stage. And sometimes the sleazy stories you hear about Hollywood are true. When receiving studio notes on the script, one executive said to Sorkin, if Demi Moore's character and Cruz's character aren't going to sleep together in the movie, why is her character a woman? Sorkin said his response was, women have other purposes in life than to sleep with Tom Cruise. Sorkin says this was his worst experience as a writer. And finally, actual danger comes with the territory when you are a U.S. Marine. None of the Marines, however, probably thought they'd experience danger as extras on a movie set, but they did thanks to Kiefer Sutherland's driving. While driving Caffey's team around the base, Sutherland had trouble navigating the Hummer due to its extra-wide base and drove into Marines on multiple takes. Semper Wydellis? Come on, that's a good one. Celebrate Flag Day by watching this classic. A Few Good Men is this week's classic movie pick. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabe.
The weather's warming up and the beaches are starting to open, but with that come E. coli and algae blooms that are also starting. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells us what to look out for if you're going to be hitting the beaches.
Bacteria in the water. Our very own lakes can have very high levels of E. coli, and you do not want to swim in that. It can make you sick. The Mayo Clinic says it's a bacteria that usually lives in animals' intestines. And this nasty bug gets into our water after recent rain drains urban sewer water and rural agricultural runoff into our lakes and streams. It's a major problem in Wisconsin, as fertilizer seeps into our water system from farm fields, alongside tons of manure getting washed into our recreational waters, causing major algae blooms to spark. It's called cyanobacteria, or what we call blue-green algae in our freshwater systems. It's the outbreak of smelly and slimy microorganisms that can kill fish and block sunlight from deeper water organisms. And for us humans, it causes nausea, vomiting, and may progress to more serious, long-term health issues like liver failure or cancer. And it can happen for people swimming in it, eating fish from it, or drinking the infected water. And some research has also found that these toxins could increase the chance of irregular menstrual cycles and possible infertility in women due to ovulatory disorders. So the DNR and other agencies have to monitor hundreds of lakes and beaches for unhealthy levels. And there's actually an interactive map on their website that you can check out ahead of time. Or if you're already there, signs should be posted at those beaches. Higher temperatures and increased sunlight in summer months encourage and increase these algae blooms, and so does standing water. Recently, elevated E. coli bacteria levels were found off of Lake Michigan near Cleveland at Hyka Park Bay, with Fisher Park Beach closed. And in Manitowoc, Red Arrow Park Beach is also closed, as well as further north in Door County at Bailey's Harbor Ridges Park Beach. And near Two Rivers, Memorial Drive Parkway is under an advisory, and so is Sugar Creek County Park. As well as the Kettle Moraine State Forest Northern Unit, Long Lake South Beach has an advisory, with the North Beach closed. Remember, if the water looks or smells bad, stay out of it and keep kids and pets and livestock away. And follow advice from officials if the harmful algae is in your water. Fountains have been used to fight this in local ponds, and people in the community are using rain barrels to help reduce runoff. Also, using phosphorus-free fertilizers will help. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Don't forget, Sunday is Father's Day. This is New Wisco Weekend on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS and the Civic Media app.
Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, our cover story, which is a look at Fly Me Flags in Green Bay. We'll be back right after the news.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is an ABC News special report. I'm Wayne Cabot. Missiles and drones rocking Tel Aviv this morning after a night of uranium bombardment across Israel, including Jerusalem. Israel says three people died in the projectiles that got through Israeli and U.S. air defenses. The U.S. says it's doing this to protect U.S. interests from Iran's retaliation after Israel targeted Iran's nuclear facilities. From the White House, ABC's Selena Wang reports President Trump is changing his tone from saying that Israel shouldn't have done the attack, now calling the Israeli attack excellent.
The president is also now saying that this will put pressure on Iran to come back to the negotiating table. The president's special envoy, Steve Witkoff, was scheduled to travel to Oman for another round of nuclear talks with his Iranian counterparts, but it's difficult to see if that's still going to move ahead.
Israel reporting significant damage to nuclear facilities at Natanz and Isfahan. This is ABC News.
Game three of the Cards and Crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. It's the Brewers and the Cardinals to play game three of their four-game series at American Family Field. Jose Quintana will face the Cards' Andre Pallanta. The last night, sixth inning, St. Louis had two base runners in a game tied 2-2. So Pat Murphy came out to the mound to replace Freddy Peralta. But then, at the last moment, the Brewers manager says he changed his mind.
The players play the game. I believe Freddy when he said, I got some more. You know, I wanted to check with him, and I got some more. And Arenado has been really good against Freddie. I think everyone in the ballpark thought we were taking him out. And I think, you know, when I trust a guy, I've been around Freddie for how many years, and I trust him. And I knew that it was a moment for him that he could get through, and that would maybe change some other moments in the future.
Peralta got out of the jam, and the Crew went on to win 3-2. NBA, the Indiana Pacers lost to the Thunder last night, 111-104, the best-of-seven series now tied at two games apiece. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Ted Lasso star Jason Sudeikis learned a lot from his uncle, George Wendt. On a recent episode of the Where Everybody Knows Your Name podcast, actor, writer, producer Brett Goldstein, who plays Roy Kent on Ted Lasso, told Ted Danson that Sudeikis found out about his uncle's death while in the writer's room at Ted Lasso, then added that they matched tears with laughter by watching compilations of George Wendt as Norm. Orlando Bloom is alive and well after his surgery. No reason to panic, Bloom fans. The actor had elective surgery, which was a blood filtering procedure to remove microplastics or forever chemicals from his blood. The procedure is only available at one clinic in London, according to Collider. If you're thinking about checking out this procedure, just know that it costs 10 grand. Let's be honest, most of us will just have to cross our fingers and hope that having Tupperware in our blood isn't as bad as experts say. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's no better place to catch Brewers baseball than right here. Every pitch, every hit, every home run.
And a fly ball to right center. Malloy is back, and this one is good again for Hoskins.
Brewers Baseball on WISS is brought to you by Addison Jones Realty, Zeroni's Macaroni Pizza Pub, Green Thumb Organics, and Berkshire Hathaway Water City Realty. Catch Brewers Baseball all season long on WISS.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
is New Wisco Weekend. I'm your host, Lisa Hale. Now, this week's theme on New Wisco Weekend is flags. All things flags. From Flag Day to Flag Week, the American flag, custom flags, Stacy Stewart can do it. She's one of the owners of Fly Me Flag on Ashland Avenue in Green Bay. Now, whether it's installing flag poles, hanging American flags, or ordering those custom flags, if it deals with a flag, Fly Me Flag is the place to visit. Thanks for joining me, Stacy.
Flags are all we do.
As we're getting ready for Flag Day, and as we're getting ready for, you know, the patriotic season here in the United States of America, how busy are you right now?
Well, this is definitely our time of the year to shine. We're slower in the winter months, but as Memorial Day approaches, we see a huge uptick in our customers coming into the store, ordering online, and our customers calling us to place their repeat orders. And then I like to say we rock and roll all the way through 4th of July, through the summer, and into the fall season. And because we install flag poles, it's always kind of that race against Mother Nature. Our service team stays very busy through the fall months. We try to get as many poles in the ground as we can before we freeze over, of course, here in Wisconsin.
I'm glad to hear that. And I'm also very happy to know that you do the poles, because when I think of flags, I've got an American flag that I put outside my house and it goes into the little flag. But my grandmother had a huge flagpole in her yard. So that offers a bunch of different opportunities for people who might want one type of flag versus another.
It sure does. So we carry everything from the handheld stick flags for parades and cemeteries. We carry garden flags. But then, as you alluded, also those flags that fly off the side of the house at an angle. And really, our specialty is residential and commercial grade flagpoles. And we sell, service, and install anything from a 20-foot in-ground pole all the way up to 150 feet.
And with 150 feet, what size flag goes on that?
As you know, as the pole gets taller, the flag, of course, gets bigger. We stock all the way up through 30 by 60 foot flags, but we do have some customers that fly 40 by 80 foot flags. I mean, they're just massive, and we special order those for those customers. We are really fortunate to have great manufacturers here in the Midwest and in Wisconsin, and so we source locally. As much as possible. And our flagpoles also are made by a manufacturer here in Wisconsin. So we really try to ensure that as much as we can, all of the materials are domestically sourced and that our flags, of course, if it's an American flag, it will be 100% domestically sourced, but with the materials, everything from the thread, the grommets, the fabric. And then, of course, it is sewn in factories on U.S. soil with American labor. It has to be. I mean, that is our commitment to our customers. And it is a problem in the industry. I mean, there's definitely false advertising out there. It's important to really look at the tag on your flag and make sure that it is certified made in the USA.
You want to support your family, your friends, your neighbors, your community. And I love that you guys do this. Now, tell me a little bit about your store. It's in Green Bay.
It is. We relocated our store just 1 mile. We're still on the same street, same side of the street, but we did move a mile about 5 years ago. We saw an opportunity to renovate a new building. We have huge high ceilings. There's an 18-foot flag suspended behind our counter at the store. We have a 20-foot flagpole installed indoors. And so we're really able to do consultations with our customers, show them how flagpoles work, allow them to feel the quality of the different fabrics, and deliver a unique experience that you certainly can't get when you're purchasing online.
You mentioned consulting with your customers. Do you also kind of teach them the proper ways to handle the flags? Because, you know, I learned proper way to handle a flag when I was in Girl Scouts.
Me too.
But not everybody was in Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts, you know. Not everybody Yes. knows that there is a proper way to do things. Do you teach that?
We do. So we actually get a lot of questions from our customers about things like, you know, can I fly the flag at night? Well, absolutely. But the U.S. flag code says that it should be illuminated. So we carry solar lights for that reason. On larger commercial jobs, we will coordinate with an electrician to do flagpole lighting. We also get questions about proper disposal of flags. There's fewer and fewer places that accept them, but we take in thousands of flags from the community each year, and we make sure that they are properly retired. And some of the other common questions are just about displaying flags, if they're going to be on a wall or they're going to have all five branches of the military. Questions like, if it's hanging horizontal or vertical, where should the star field be? What order should those branches of military flags be presented in? And because flags are all we do, Fly Me Flag and our team really serves as the flag authorities, kind of the experts on etiquette. And we are happy to help educate whether you are our customer or not. It's just a service we want to provide for our community.
I want to go back just a shade. You mentioned that you have thousands of flags that are brought to you to be retired each year. That is just something I never thought of. What happens when your flag becomes tattered? How do you properly retire a flag?
Well, the U.S. flag code provides guidance for this, and it states that when a flag is no longer suitable for flying, it should be retired, preferably by burning. And so we work with American Legion, the VFW, and the Boy Scouts, who all provide retirement ceremonies. So they are respectfully destroying the flag in the way that flag code says it should be. That's important to us, and we're really fortunate to have those community relationships. You know, when we install that sense of patriotism, pride, and respect for the flag at such a young age, I have to believe that sticks with them.
I think it does. And it still sticks with me. I cannot stand to see a tattered. I also do not like to see a flag touching the ground. So there's lots of things that just because of the way we were brought up, we know this. Now, you guys have been at Fly Me Flag. You've been in business now for 40 years, I understand.
We have. The company started in 1985. My husband and I are the fourth owners. And we bought the business from my parents in 2017. So this is now our ninth summer in the industry. And, you know, and we just love it. It's always been a family-run business. It's always been a small business, really focused on serving our local customers. But we're so proud to carry on that legacy of 40 years and continue evolving and reinventing the business in some ways.
You guys pretty much are the authority on flags here in Northeast Wisconsin.
I mean, we're really fortunate to have so many loyal customers. So we serve everyone from those homeowners that want a residential flagpole in their yard. You know, flagpoles last decades and decades and decades. So and A lot of the times they're replacing their flag every year or two. So we're fortunate to see them often. We also serve municipalities across this region. So when you see those custom banners flying in the downtown areas, or like the American flags on those light poles around Lambeau Field in Ashwaubenon, those are all customers that we serve. And then, of course, if you think about all the places flags are flown, so colleges, post offices, courthouses, all those government buildings. We are just really fortunate to have those loyal customers. And in addition, we serve some of the largest corporations in this region. A lot of them have flagpoles. They're flying not just the American flag, but often the state of Wisconsin flag and a custom logo flag. So we get to work with a variety of different customers, and I don't know. For me, the American flag is at the heart of what we do, but I also really enjoy working on custom banners, custom flags. Those projects are cool too.
So by custom banners and flags, do you mean like what I would call a garden flag or a flag for that might have my family crest on it? Who knows? Or the logo of my business. You do those types of flags?
Yeah, so for small businesses, for, like you said, a family crest, sometimes we're doing them for people's cabins or to celebrate an anniversary or a birthday or a wedding. And it's neat to get to know these individuals and come up with the symbolism or the messaging that they want on their flags.
And you help them with that? They don't just come to you and say, this is what I want. You actually help them put together something?
Sometimes people come in with exactly what they want, or they already have a logo for their organization or their company. But we also have folks come in or call us or email us with an idea. And we have a talented graphics team that's able to really take the concept they're envisioning and bring it into reality. And so that could be a garden flag. It could be on a car, like those car flags that go over your windows or your motorcycle. But then we also do those feather banners that stake in the ground in front of businesses, the downtown light pole banners, and even tablecloths and tents. So a lot of different things that are made out of fabric where we can do custom printing and ensure they're going to be durable for long-term outdoor use.
How would somebody get in touch with you if they wanted to talk with you more about a flag idea they have or getting their very own American flags for their home?
Well, lots of different ways. they can visit flymeflag.com. They can stop into our store here in Green Bay. Our phone number is 920-435-3524. And they can email us. custom@flymeflag.com. But many ways to reach out. We're also on Facebook and Instagram.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. I know this is your busy time of year, and I know your husband's putting up flagpoles, you're taking care of orders. So thank you very much.
It is my pleasure, Lisa. Thank you for having us. Flag Day is truly our favorite holiday.
And we can see why. Coming up next on New Wisco Weekend, a bit of music for you. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. We'll be right back.
Remembering Vietnam, brought to you by The Dispensary.
May of 1969, I was near Dak Tho in Vietnam. Up until then, except for a few rockets and mortars, everything was pretty calm. But then things changed. We started getting ground assaults. Seemed like almost every night, many times they would probe the perimeter. Then they got inside. I don't know how many times, but they started bringing heavy stuff. 122-millimeter rockets. These things were 6 feet long and huge in diameter. All they did was prop them up on a tripod somewhere in the jungle and fire them like a giant bottle rocket. You would hear the whoosh when it was fired, then thump, thump. If you're on guard duty in the main tower looking out into the jungle, you could see a puff of smoke. Then you'd see them coming in. Mike Brzezinski, United States Army, Vietnam.
Hear this complete story at WISS.FM. Click on Remembering Vietnam. Brought to you by The Dispensary. Online at TheD8Dispensary.com.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Warm weather is finally here, and so is wildfire smoke from Canada. Forecasters say we can expect air quality warnings to come and go and come again with no end in sight as fires blaze out of control across central and western Canada. Environmental advocates say the hazardous smoke blanketing our state just when we want to head outdoors shows no community is safe from the impacts of climate change and should be a wake-up call for policymakers. The EPA is pushing to end its popular Energy Star program that has helped families identify energy-efficient appliances and home energy upgrades for more than 30 years. A group of U.S. senators, including Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, is calling on the EPA to keep the popular program, saying for every dollar spent on Energy Star, Americans get $350 in savings. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill backed by Donald Trump that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uihlein. In 2018 alone, the Uihleins received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. In honor of Flag Day, our musical segment this week is from Operation Song. Todd Michaels interviews one of the singer-songwriters and gives us some great music from the movement. Here's Operation Song.
The flag is for freedom, for each and every one, for waking up each morning and doing what you love. The flag is for fighting somewhere far away with my brothers and my sisters to keep you safe. The flag is more than red, white, and blue. It's united we will stand, and divided we will lose. It's flying high above this land, so we remember what we've got when we forget what the flag is. Of all the ones we lost, who paid the greatest price and didn't care about the cost, because they heard the call and weren't afraid to stand their ground against anything and everything. Oh, I can hear them now say the flag is more than red. It's united we will stand, and while we fight for each of you, it's flying high above this land, so we remember what we've got when we forget what the flag is for. The put my hand over my heart, 'cause I believe the flag is more than red, white, and blue. It's why we stand up on our feet and pledge through and through. It's flying high above this land. It's the highest honor folded up, put in a mother's hands. So just think about those we lost who aren't here anymore, when you think about what the flag.
On with us right now, John Foti, from the CEO with Operation Song. Guys, thanks for being on with me today.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having us.
John, give me a little of your background and a little bit of the background of Operation Song, if you would.
Yeah, so I am a Army veteran. I was in the Army as a helicopter pilot from 2012 to 2018, and I was unfortunately medically discharged at the age of 27 with type 1 diabetes, and that was kind of my introduction to the veterans community. After I got out of the Army, I tried a few things, but eventually found myself in love with nonprofit work, specifically the opportunity to serve and continue to serve my peers, but just not in uniform anymore, through the veterans nonprofit community. Operation Song's vision is to be able to tell the story of every veteran to every American, and that includes military personnel and their families. Our founder, Bob Regan, in 2012, doing Armed Forces tours, learned that veterans have incredible stories to tell. He started dedicating his own personal time and money into Operation Song as the founder in order to tell veteran stories.
Welcome home.
For being a part of New Wisco Weekend and our look at Flag Day. New Wisco Weekend is produced, written, and directed by Lisa Hale. Our executive producer is Todd Michaels, with features from Melissa Kay, Brittany Merlot, Joanne Krulatz, Peach Swaba, and commentator Amanda Nimmer. If you have a story you'd like to hear us cover, email me anytime, lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
In sitcoms, When someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
This is an ABC News special report. I'm Wayne Cabot. Israel now appears to be on a war footing with longtime enemy Iran, each nation hitting the other with drone and missile attacks overnight and again today. This explosion rocking a neighborhood near Tel Aviv this morning, one of dozens of missiles launched by Iran toward Israel, retaliation for an attack that ABC's Marcus Moore reports was long planned.
Israel had long telegraphed its intention to strike Iran, but the campaign itself, Operation Rising Lion, a joint effort between the IDF and Mossad intelligence agency, is seen as a dramatic escalation and a bigger, more targeted plan than many expected.
Israel attacked just 48 hours before U.S. nuclear talks with Iran were supposed to resume in Oman. Those talks appear to be off. Moments ago, Iran's top diplomat saying talks with the U.S. are unjustifiable after the Israeli strikes. This is ABC News.